Well, good morning. I look at you guys a little different this morning. Because I feel like I'm looking at my church. And that's never been true. I've been here a few times. Obviously, most of you guys know my name. I know most of your names. But I've just been a regional director guy. I've just been a guy that travels around some. But Brandon and Owen decided that they would be open to kind of doing an experiment. And we talked together. And just because there's so much potential, we think, in this church, both on campus, and you guys are so demographically diverse and all that, that an idea got thrown out to have a regional focus here in a more intense way, and Bill and Pat and I talked about it, and Bill Young and Pat Sokol are the other kind of people on the board of this region, which is called the Mountains West Region of Great Commission. If you don't know, we're part of a larger church movement, not a real large church movement. In the world of church movements, our movement is about as big as this church is in the world of churches. So we're a little movement, a little church, a little movement. But there's about 80 or 90 churches in the U.S. that this church is connected with. And it's divided up into regions, and there's hardly any churches in the West. So you are part of, geographically, the largest region in this entire movement. I can't remember how many. Several hundred thousand square miles of space, but there's only 13 churches, and they're not all small, but most of them are, and I get to travel around, and as a matter of fact, by the way, my name's John Meyer, if you don't remember my name, and if I don't remember your name, please grant me grace. I'm not great with names anyway, and ever since I turned 50, I'm definitely not great with names. So that's this weird thing that you don't really understand until you get there. But everybody laughs about it, but it's real. So I'm here on around the West tour, actually. I was in the Canadian Rockies a couple weeks ago with some old guys, two other old guys from the church in Fort Collins, motorcycle guys. They wanted to go up to the Canadian Rockies to Banff and Jasper, and then go over to Vancouver. And I realized if I bolted on with them, I could jump off and go down to Seattle and kind of do this church thing. So I took a week of vacation, and then in Vancouver, I went back to work, and I went to the church in Seattle and the church in Los Angeles, and then I came here. And so I've been living on about three sets of clothes out of bags for several weeks now. So if I'm a little wrinkly, that's the deal. I go fly home this afternoon, and then I'll be back next Saturday, I think, how that's going to work. But I just want to share a few thoughts, and next week we're going to begin a series that I'll do at least the first two of, and I don't know if Brandon wants to jump in on it or not, but if not, I'll do it all, and he'll do something else on the weeks I'm gone. But I'm going to be down here about two weekends out of three, and I'll be down here a little over half my physical time. And I'm going to set up a household, and I'm going to hopefully function in such a way that you guys could even see me as one of the pastors down here laboring with Owen and Brandon. And I've been leading helping lead a church in Fort Collins, but having lots of traveling responsibility for a long time, so I know how to do the whole travel and pastor thing. And I just want you guys to, for the next 9 to 12 months, which is how long it's going to be, I want to be engaged and accessible and available to you all as one of the pastors. And I'll be focused more in the community world, but not entirely, because of what I'm going to do in my household. So I got to have a place to live. I couldn't figure out if any of you guys had a spare bedroom or not. So I am going to set up a single brother's household, since my wife won't be down here a whole lot. She'll be down here a little bit. And I'm going to live with Alex and Timo and Andrew and myself in a single brother's household. And so we are going to make an attempt to replicate a little bit of what I experienced when I was a single person in college and post-college before I got married. I got married when I was 28, and I got saved when I was 20, and I lived in actually a college fraternity for 3 years, and then lived in a brother's household for 4 to 5 years. It was a very, very shaping experience for me, and it was a very impacting thing for other people and for the guys that lived there. And so we're gonna dial in, and we're gonna try to do that. So we aren't just gonna be four guys just sort of living independently, but we're gonna be four guys living in united focus to have God build our lives together and use our lives together. And that's gonna be a connection I have with more of the young single world. And then beyond that, my goal is to lock in and support the community dimension of the church. And Brandon will do that some, but I will also be focused there. So you guys can all write down my phone number. You want to write my phone number? Here's my phone number. You can use my phone number anytime you want. This is how you reach me. 970-690-5006. 970-690-5006. So, I am really excited about seeing where this church can go. With one more person just pulling the sled in a little bit different way. And one of the things I'd like to share is just that part of the purpose I'll be while I'm here is to do some experimentation. So you might discover every once in a while that something's a little different than it's been. Well, that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, especially if it doesn't work. And anything that changes when I'm here, as soon as I'm gone, in 9 months, you can change it back. So you never have to freak out about anything that might be different, because you can totally blow me off when I'm gone, and that'll be okay. But we're going to try to take the freedom to just try some different things. And just explore being a church together. So I know Brandon talked about this a little bit last week. Some of you guys might not have been here last week, so this might be the first time you're hearing it. But does anybody have any questions about that? Anybody have anything that they wonder about? How's that going to work? My address is 927 North Revere, Mesa. Yeah. I want to be in the directory. I do. You can stick me in the phone list. That'll be great. Yeah. So, like I shared, my wife will be down here a little bit. People often ask me that. Not a lot. Actually, her biggest contribution is holding our world together back home. We have a number of people we're connected with. A number of things that she's really engaged in supporting. I actually have an aunt, my closest physical relative outside of my physical family. She's a 70-year-old lady, lives on a farm in Longmont, and she's probably going to pass away this week. She has cancer, and she's battled terminal cancer. She was diagnosed with it 18 months ago. The doctor told her she'd never leave the hospital. She was just going to die. My aunt is an amazing woman. And 18 months later, she's finally reached the end of a long battle. She's been an amazing example in her faith, profoundly affected her family, some of which are saved, some of which are not. And I'm going to go back. And as a matter of fact, I'm flying back at 3, and I'm going to go straight to her house from the airport and may have my last conversation with her. And my wife's been going to visit her once or twice a week, last season of all this. And so my wife has a bunch of stuff that she's engaged in helping hold together, but I'm trying to figure out when I can get her to come down here also. So, anyway. So, let's pray, and I'm going to share a few thoughts here that are general. We're not going to start a series this morning. I just want to Trust God for grace to just back up and take a little bit of a big picture view of things, of church life, what we're doing here. And calibrate, I really appreciate, Mike, what you shared in starting us off. That was all really encouraging to me, just how do we address the challenges and battles that we face. Is Mike here? He's in children's ministry. Wow. Okay. Serve here, serve there. It's life in a small church. So anyway, let's pray and let's ask the Lord for grace. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're here. Lord, thank you. You're the one that's most fully here. You're all here. This is your church. Lord, you love what you have created, what you've bought and paid for, what you will own forever. Think about that song that says how we're just drowning in your love and your grace. We're just sinking in it. And that's how it really, truly is. And Lord, we so seldom see it that way. I just ask God that this morning you would have a time where you can reconnect us with the truth. And we can be renewed and encouraged. We can be excited about our salvation. Lord Jesus, I just pray, God, that you'd sit here. You'd gather us around. I just think about how you would gather people around you because you just wanted them to be there to connect with them. You just wanted to just spiritually and sometimes even physically touch them and just connect. That's your desire. And there's going to be an eternal connection that is so powerful and so profound that will never end because that's what you want. And that's what you made possible to cross. And so just help us, God, to enter into that and to be where your Spirit wants us to be. Pray we'd be humble before you and that we would be at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I wanted us to go back to questions that I've been going back to as I've thought about moving down here. And those questions are, what are we doing? What's this about? Here we sit in this room. We come every Sunday. Some of you made incredible sacrifices to be here. Some of you, well, you've all made a lot. A lot of you have made sacrifices, whether you've moved here or not. Some of you have made incredible sacrifices of perseverance. Some of you moved here. Some of you moved your family here. What did you do that for? What were you after when you made those choices? And when I thought about coming here, and sometimes people ask me, well, you know, how is it going to be away from your wife a lot of the time? And sometimes I wonder, well, how's that going to affect my relationship with my wife? I've never done that before. And we have strengths and we have weaknesses in our marriage, and how's this going to work? But I do have one convicting thought about that. And that's my son sitting over there with his wife because of the experience that he walked in. He was in the Army. And in the Army, you know, they take you away from your wife, or if you're a woman, they can take you away from your husband, they can take you away from your family, they can take you away from your children, and they can actually do it for 18 months. Can you imagine the impact on a young man to be away from his wife and children for 18 months? For what? I mean, in one sense, we can go, wow, that's really noble, and Josh got deployed for 7 months. That was his longest deployment. But I would talk to him on the phone occasionally, and I would kind of recognize and be able to lock into, that's a long time. That's a long time. And sometimes in the Christian realm, we can go, well, I don't know whether, you know, this is really hard. I'm kind of suffering here. And we think of the things that the world calls people into, the challenges that they are expected to face. And I think about, gee, as a young man, the army can take you away from from your family for 18 months, from your wife and from your children. For what? Oh, Lord Jesus, may I not complain that I'm going to be away from my wife a week or two at a time for an eternal purpose at age 57. Let's just put this all in perspective here. And in our own life, we have to just understand and know, which we do, to follow Christ is to be called into places where you will make choices of suffering. That's a reality, but in one sense, it's also not unique because the world calls us into that all the time. Some of you guys in your workplace, it's astonishing what your bosses can demand of you. And we have to be careful that we don't draw a line closer for God. Oh, God, you can't ask for that. Now, my boss, he could ask for that, but you can't ask for that. And to accomplish anything, whether it's in any realm, in business, in school, or in God's purposes and what he's doing in the world, there are challenges that he calls us into. And you and I need to ask ourselves, are the stuff that we sang about, are there realities that we connect to there when we sing that, where we go, yeah, it is worth making hard choices. It is worth making hard choices. And you know what? It is. I don't know if it's worth it for your boss. I don't know how you'll look at that in the end. I don't know if it's worth it for the U.S. Army. I don't know how that'll all measure out in the end. But I do know this. When you do that for Jesus Christ and you reach the end, you will never regret what you chose. And we have got to make choices to remember that now. We are all in the process of proving. We are the experiments. You know, in an experiment, you have the control group, and then you have the thing you're actually doing the experiment on. I can't quite remember what they're both called. But in the control group, you don't do anything with that. That just sort of does its own thing. And you use that to measure, okay, how different is it when I do this thing over here? Do you understand? That's kind of what we are. Jesus says, okay, now the whole world, they're all just living their own way. They're doing their own thing. They're acting like they're God. They're the biggest thing in their life, and that's the control group. That's how they live their life. And I'm going to call you guys, and I'm going to say, I want you to live as if there's a God, as if there's somebody who really knows all things, as if there's someone that loves you and who it's worth living for, and I want you to live that way. And then when we're done, we'll see how it turned out for all the people that made choices to follow me. And God says, I can't wait to measure this experiment in the end. Because you will, the verse that really I got saved on in a sense was Romans 9:10. The one who believes in him will not be disappointed. And you got to know that's true. You will never make a choice for Jesus that you get to heaven and you look at that choice you made and the suffering, the sacrifice you made, and you went, I don't know, God, really it would have been better if I had just done my own thing. I really don't think it turned out that well to obey you. Oh, God goes, oh, no. You will not say that. You will not say that. I promise. You are going to be amazed at what I give you for what you bring to me. The one who believes in me will not be disappointed. Never bet against him. But we do it all the time. And so I thought, you know, I am excited about being here. I'm really excited about being here. And sometimes, when there's grease on the stove or I'm thinking about stuff back home, I go, why am I here? This last week I've spent, a lot of you guys have been out doing all kinds of outreach stuff and school's firing up and I'm just amazed at all the work you guys did yesterday, and God's going to honor that. Jesus smiles on that. And I don't know what physical fruit will be brought out of this world, but I just want you to know, if you were engaged in that and you did that for the Lord, and you know, you said, it is worth it, Jesus smiles and he says, I'm pleased with that. I'm honored in that. That's what should exist in the world. But when I think about my world, I got my wife at home and I got all my stuff at home. I like stuff. I got my house. It's all in order. My garage is clean. I've got most of my friends back home. I got a lot of stuff back home. But I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to be here. And the reason I want to be here is because I believe Jesus is here for me. I believe this is where God is calling me to be. And if we look to John chapter 12, Jesus talks about where we're all supposed to be. And John 12, 24 on page 762. Actually, it's verse 26, end of a good passage here, but it just says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Where I am, my servant also will be. And each one of us has to ask ourselves, well, Jesus, where are you for me? Where are you for me? And I've had different times in my life where God has given me a sense that he's in a different place for me. You guys don't know this part of my life unless Andrew shared it with you, but we used to live on a little acreage. It was an old farmstead, house built in 1903, barn built in 1911, this great big old barn, great big hayloft. I mean, like the coolest place in the world, orchard out back. It was all run down, falling down, but it was just like this wonderland. And we got to move there in 1995. And about 12 years later, my kids were grown, and I just felt God say to me, John, I gave you this place for your family. And your family's grown, and I have different purposes for them. And it's time for this to belong to somebody else. And boy, you know, I love that farm. I think we all love that farm. But I really sense God saying, Jesus, John, I'm not there for you anymore. This is not where I am for you now. I'm somewhere else. Sold the farm, a whole bunch of series of events occurred, and if I had not done that, I wouldn't be getting to make the choice to come to Arizona today. Where is Jesus for you? You will make critical choices that will affect not only that moment, but they'll affect moments into the future if you follow. And he says, hey, I'm over here, and then I gotta go. That's where he's at for me. That's where he's at for me. And I think God's over here for me. And I'm not trying to be mysterious here, because sometimes we have a leading and sometimes things aren't clear. But anyway, I think this is where Jesus is for me. And he's a real person, and we're all going to see him quite clearly one day. And I want you to just imagine that moment. You are going to have a moment, somehow, and whatever it means, but it's going to be just like you can imagine it. You are going to open your eyes and you're going to see Jesus Christ. That moment is ahead for you. It is going to happen. You are going to see him. And when that moment happens, as I understand it, you're going to see him every day, unless you're off camping or something, and he's not, which I think we may well go camping. Every day. That's your future. This is a blip. I'm going to see him every day. It's going to be my home. And it's God's intent that it be everybody's home, every person he made. And there's three truths that have been very powerful for me about Jesus, and I just want to pass those three truths on and then just relate to them for what we're doing here as a church. And the first is just understand this. Jesus is our creator extending himself to us in relationship so profound. Every one of us needs relationship. Every one of us needs to know we're loved. And 2,000 years ago, the Creator of the universe manifested himself in a real person, in a human body. God himself came to this earth. It's actually true. It is not just religious stuff. He entered this world. And he came, ultimately all wrapped together in lots of different pieces, to extend himself and say, you can have a relationship with me in this person of Jesus. This is me coming to you. I can have a relationship with God. And I remember when I got saved, long wrestling, really selfish. I'll have to tell you the story. It's very humbling. I don't know if I've shared it here or not. I was such a, you know, just a really immature kid when I got saved. But I remember after about a year of wrestling, I met some guys that really impacted my life, and I really realized, wow, these guys know God and I don't. And they shared the gospel with me, and I remember walking home from church. Somehow I was by myself, walked home from church on campus, and I just remember standing on the sidewalk, and I just came to this point where I realized, oh my, oh, this is what I want. And I remember looking up at God, going, God, if you will have me, if you will have me, I'll have you. And that thing of, we ask ourselves on the inside, will anybody have me? Will anybody have me? I want people to love me more all the time. I want my wife to love me more. I want, you know, everybody falls in love. Different times I probably wanted you to love me more. There is a need we have for relationship and for love. And God says, John, I offer that to you. That's why I made you. And I love the notion, which I don't ever get tired of saying, is God only makes the people he likes. If he don't like you, he don't make you. If you exist, God likes you just like you are. That's because he's the only guy that got to pick what you're like. Your parents didn't get to, they might not even wanted you. And if they did want you, all they wanted was a baby. But God wanted you. He wanted me. All the stuff about me, all the weird, quirky things about me. He says, ooh, I want that, and I'm going to make that. God wants every one of us, and every one of us needs to know there's a place we can go. We're always wanted. We're always wanted. We were, the whole world's relational. I made up with Nate's cat this morning. Nate's got a cat in the apartment. I've been trying not to connect with this cat because I've been sleeping on the floor. I don't want this cat sleeping on me at night. So we've never connected. And this morning, it's like, cat crawls up on my lap. All right, so I start petting it, and all right, now we're friends. And you know, now I have a hard time sleeping on the floor. But even this cat wants relationship. It's like God's made the whole world to go, I want to connect. I want to be part. I want to belong. And you have that in your heart. And you know what? God put it there. God put a really deep need there for connection in you, and he wants you to understand there's really actually a truth. He's the connection. He's the connection. It's really true. And you don't get to see him yet, and that makes it hard. But God, I don't ever get to see you. Remember one time a woman in our church was really, really struggling, and she just said, I just need somebody with skin on. And there is a valid part to that. But there is a part where we just need to understand that God in Jesus is saying, I accept you in the deepest fundamental way. And you need that. Whether you know it or not, you're going to spend your life understanding how much that enables you to be human. As a matter of fact, you can't even experience who you are till you know you're loved. So Jesus is our Creator extending himself to us in relationship. Being with Jesus is the only source of life in the creation. Jesus is our connection with relationship. Jesus is life. What is life? I don't know. It's what everybody tries to get. Way back when there was a beer called Schlitz beer. Owen probably remembers this way back. I don't know how old you are, Lee, but go for the gusto. You know, it was like their advertisement was, you can have life. And lots of commercials use that whole phrase, how to get life. What does it mean? We know it when we get it, don't we? We know it when we get it. And I know where you've experienced it. You've experienced it following Jesus. You've experienced it following Jesus. When you follow Jesus, when you are where he is at, you experience life. How could it be any different? He is the creator. How could it be possible to know life without knowing the one that put you here? It just doesn't even, it's not even logically possible. Do you want to know life? You have got to walk with the giver of life, the one who created you, the one who knows you. That's how you're going to find life. You have got to walk with him. You're not going to find life in a cooler bike. You're not going to find life in taking some motorcycle trip through the Canadian Rockies. That's not where you're going to find life. Life is in Jesus, and there is something in the Spirit that fills this up, and that's what we're going to talk about. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Who can say? Anybody know them? Okay. Awesome. Those are life. Those are life. So Jesus is God offering me relationship. I need that. Jesus is where life is going to be. Life is not home with my stuff if Jesus is not there. Life is cleaning a kitchen if Jesus is there. And then the third thing, Jesus is Lord. I don't know what your term is that kind of pushes that button in your head. He's the boss. He's the general manager. He's the CEO. He's the president of everything in the creation. He is over it all. When that human being rose from the dead, God incarnate, a human life, got back what Adam lost, and what Jesus got was authority over it all. The one you follow will have the last word, rightfully so. It's not like he's just more powerful and he comes in and he rips it away. Oh, no, no, no. He earned it all. He showed more humility, more obedience, more suffering than any human life that ever lived. And God says, okay, now, this is yours. This crown is yours. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, what do we get when we are where Jesus wants us to be? We get relationship. We get life. We get knowing that we're in the way that's going to work out. Like I shared earlier, never bet against him. If you follow Jesus, I'm telling you what, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Everyone can say, you're stupid, you're a fool. Just smile. Game's not over yet. Game's not over yet. I follow Jesus. I win. Because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and you will never go wrong following him. But we forget and we don't want relationship in Jesus because we get caught up in other things. We look for life other places, and we think we can be happier making our own choices. But in our hearts, we know that's not true. So what's a church? A church is a group of people that come together and say, I need other people that feel this in their heart, that want to grow in this. I want to be around other people that go, take me this direction. And a church is a group of people that sense that tension, and they say, I want to be with other people in this tension, fighting this battle, and helping one another. I want people helping me follow Jesus, and I want to help other people follow Jesus, and that's what I want my church to be. And then I want to help other people find this life. I want to help other people know this. The world is so crazy. You know, like Nate prayed, there's people dying everywhere. This whole planet's just going crazy. People just believing all kinds of things and voices and messages from everywhere. And I'm telling you what, we have the truth. Lots of people have beliefs. Jesus rose from the dead. He's prophesied in the scriptures. If you're a logical person, check it out. If you're a science person, check it out. If you're a philosophical person, it all comes together. This is actually true. And we have to help one another hang on to the truth. And we have to call other people into it. And that's what I want to do here. I want to believe with you that we can help one another live above all this stuff of our job and our whatever and our relationships. And we can be people that unite together around Jesus and we can share our faith. A verse I really like is in Philemon 1:6. I bet this has been shared here a number of times, but we'll just look at it again. Philemon is at the end of all the T's, Timothy and Titus, and page 845. But it's just one verse. And Philemon had a church that met in his house, and Paul wrote to him this. He says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And maybe I'll just, that's the thought I'll leave us with here, is one of our challenges is that we have a faith on the inside, but it never gets to be expressed on the outside. If I were to ask you, do you want to grow in your faith? Do you want to experience it more deeply? I'm guessing a lot of you go, I do. That's what it means to be part of a church. You have that sense of a desire. It says if you're active in sharing your faith, you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. What does Paul mean by sharing his faith there? When he tells Philemon, share your faith, what is he talking about? What? Hope? But how do you do it? Yeah, right. But how do you share? What does he mean? Like, what is he hoping they'll do? How do they share their faith? Okay, Josh, that's good. And bring a testimony of your faith, and that's really true. But here's what it means in Philemon, if you catch the context of it. We often think, well, that means evangelism. I should go out, you guys are doing that on campus. But here's what it means in Philemon. It means you have to share your faith with one another. It is the church sharing its faith with one another. We need to speak our faith to one another. I got to know what you're struggling with and how you're applying faith to it. You know, one of the things that's often struck me about, and it's so hard, isn't it? I mean, I have shared in our church in Fort Collins of, you know, hundreds of people, and you get up, you do this amazing message, just, you know, amazing stuff about the most amazing concepts of love and God and eternity, and everybody gets up and they turn around and they talk about the weather and the Broncos. And I go, I think Jesus wants us to be different. If we really believe what we just talked about, wouldn't there be some degree of communication about what was just shared? But what happens? We don't want to be overly spiritual. Well, I don't want to be overly spiritual. You know, how's the weather? How about those Broncos? You know, I'm just loving you. I'm just being united. I'm just, you know, wanting to be connecting and safe. So I talk about stuff that's safe. And we love one another, but we love one another by being horizontal. If I love you by being horizontal, it's very safe for both you and me. You don't feel threatened, I don't feel threatened. We're not trying to be anybody special. We're just talking about the Broncos. But there is a bigger risk, isn't there, if I go, wow, you know, I was really struck by that point about eternity. And then they're like, oh, okay, so are you trying to be spiritual? What's the deal here? But that's what it means to share your faith. I got to hear it from your mouth. For you guys hearing it up here, I get paid to do this. Is there any reality of spirituality in my life outside of this? You'll only know it if you hear my faith when I'm not here. Does this go anywhere? Does it do anything? I only know that when I hear it and see it in you when we're not here. Are we the people of God? Are we striving to be that? Do you ever, you know, and I know that happens. I know it happens. But don't be afraid to share a verse, share a thought, share a struggle and how you're trusting God in it. Because that's sharing your faith, and it's bringing faith outside, outside. That's where we need it. But what does the world say? Oh, keep it inside. Oh, keep it inside. Don't let it out. Oh, you can have it. Just don't let it outside of here. In your head, put it in your head. Put it back in your head. And God says, no, no, no. I want it out in your community. I want your spiritual community to be a community where faith is shared. And when you share your faith in your community with one another, I don't know if I can share it out there. They don't want to hear it. But we can share it here, right? We can share it. We can share it. We can share it. When we share it, God says, then you're going to have a full understanding. Then it's going to be real. And so I just want to encourage us. Maybe that's my one encouragement. I want to grow in sharing my faith. I want to hear your faith. You will never, even if you convict me, that's okay. I bless you. I want to hear your faith. I want to hear where Jesus is at in your life. And I want to feel free, and I want to grow in faithfulness in sharing my faith with you. I want us to be a community of faith so that when people come in here, they'll go, well, I don't know if I believe any of this stuff, but boy, they sure do. And that's all the lost need to know. They don't even need to know if it's true. All they need to know is, do you believe it? That's the first question they ask. Does anybody in here believe any of this stuff? These guys really believe this. Oh, maybe I should think about that. Where is Jesus? For me, Jesus is here. I hope I hang with him. I hope I walk with him. I hope I do what he's called me here to do. But I know he's here for me. I'm excited about that. Obviously, Jesus is here for you. This is where you're supposed to be. Let's be with Jesus together. Let's be with Jesus together. Let's be with Jesus together. Some days with Jesus were hard. I'm certain there was never a boring day with Jesus. Those guys were probably freaking out every day. What is going to happen today? There is never a boring day if you're following Jesus. And I just want to help Owen and Brandon encourage all of us and help us be successful and be in a community of people that's really following him.